Well, good morning. Christian greetings to each of you this morning. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be in the city. It's been a challenging few days here, yesterday and today. And there's a lot of hurting people in our world. Can we agree on that this morning? There's a lot of hurting people. I'm sure the course can agree on that. We saw a few of those. Our brother shared to us about this, how we've been reconciled to God. That verse goes on to say that we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. Are we going to get the job done between now and when God calls us home? It's a full-time job, isn't it? This morning, the title of the message is Healing for Wounded Hearts. It's a lot of hurting people, as I said. We're going to take a look at that, but sometimes not all the people that are hurting are out there. Sometimes they're in the church as well. We live in the flesh, and we fail. We become hurt, and sometimes we fall into sin, and we need healing. We need reconciliation again. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. You're going to notice an Old Testament character. The burden of my heart this morning is that all of us would be willing to do what it takes to be reconciled to Jesus Christ all the time. The spiritual and emotional health of you and I is what we're talking about this morning. And especially for this side of the house, for the brethren, God calls us to places of leadership. In the home, maybe, in the kingdom of God, and it's so important that we're healthy spiritually, emotionally. Because a person in authority can do a lot of damage when they're hurting and they're lashing out at people. Wounded men are dangerous. Broken men are useful and safe. The Apostle Paul talks about in Romans 5, as we think about this aspect of being hurt, being wounded. It is somewhat normal to our earth because our earth is sin-cursed. And God allows things to come in our lives, tribulations. Paul says that, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And so these things mold us and form us into, because God wants to change us into His image. This morning, Jesus Christ is the only person who is able to heal you and I. And has His life, His presence, has it made a difference in your life? Amen. This morning, the power of the gospel and its ability to change lives is what lies at the heart of this subject. A person can overcome the results of abuse, unfortunate circumstances, whatever it is. Those things that cause bitterness, He can overcome them through the power of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the character of King Saul in the book of 1 Samuel through a number of different chapters here. I'm not going to read all the verses. But in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2, it talks about his family and what King Saul was like. This man Kish had a son, verse 2, whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. He was a good-looking young man. He was tall and handsome. Go over to chapter 10, verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. This is Samuel telling him. The Spirit of God, the Lord, is going to come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs are come unto thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Verse 9. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. Samuel said, the Spirit of God's going to come upon you, you're going to be changed, and you know, just do as the occasion serves because you're controlled by the Spirit. What's the end of the story? King Saul didn't turn out so well, did he? There were some things in his life that didn't work out. Some wounds, some festering issues that pulled him farther and farther away from God. And I believe his life is a picture of someone not finding healing from God. Here in chapter 10, let's list some of the wounds in Saul's life. Verse 21. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Is this the first indication of something wrong in Saul's heart? Wasn't quite strong enough to face God's calling on his life. And certainly, callings on responsibility, it is intimidating sometimes. And fear can come into our hearts. But there's a sense that God uses responsibility to mold us, even though we fear that. Parents, given the responsibility of children, it's a huge task. God pulling a man out of the congregation and calling him to be a leader, it's a huge task. Whether you serve on a school board or a missionary or school teacher or some other point of leadership in the kingdom of God, it can be intimidating. And if we can't accept that, there's going to be trouble down the road. I believe this calling on Saul's life was a test that God wanted to use to mold him, but it became a festering sore. Verse 27, but the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him, and they brought him no presents, but he held his peace. It was customary for the people of the nation to bring presents to support the new king. These people said, we're not going to do that. We don't like this man. People like to be accepted. When you face rejection, it hurts. I don't know if this bothered Saul or not, but it says he held his peace. Let's turn over to chapter 13, verse 8. This was the account where Saul was to wait for Samuel to worship through the offering. And it says in verse 8, he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Saul's sin of disobedience was something he brought onto himself. It was a wound which he hurt himself. And sin is like that. We inflict it on ourselves when we fail to do the will of God. And God rejected Saul as king over his people. And there's no sign that we see of Saul repenting for his disobedience. This sin was going to just fester and you never find healing in the rest of his life. God wanted a man after his own heart, someone that would do his will, someone who would repent when they sinned. Turn over to chapter 15. We see another time when Saul took life into his own hands and disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over the people, over Israel now. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is, over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. It would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Saul again disobeyed the will of God, took life into his own hands, and this was something that he did not repent from. What are those things that you and I experience? Those injuries, those wounds, what are those things in our lives? Another question, who put them there? Who allowed them? Did we bring them onto ourselves? Have others hurt you? Should we blame God? Should we blame the devil? God sees and allows many of these difficulties. Why does he do it? Why does he allow us to fall into sin? Well, we have a choice in that. Why does he allow others to hurt us at times? I believe they're tests that come into our lives. You see, when we're tried and tested by God, he knows it's the only way that most people will grow. God knows the only way he can receive more glory and more commitment from us is if he puts us through that wounding and healing process. And let's not focus so much on the why and the unfairness of it and of the pain that's there, but let's focus on being healed by God. And so, this morning, what's in your life that God has brought into you that has wounded you? What are those things that you've experienced? Was it something from childhood? Some sort of abuse, perhaps? Maybe your parents failed to take adequate responsibility for you. Was it the death of a loved one that God called home, perhaps, that touches all of us, will touch all of us sooner or later? Maybe it's the bed of affliction, some sickness that God has called you to go through. You don't know why, but God wants to be glorified in that. Maybe it was sin. Maybe you failed. This one's maybe a little harder to understand, but I believe God allows a person to fall, to break them, so that their hearts would be broken and that they would yield themselves and commit themselves more fully to him. Maybe something has happened in your life relationally with another person, and it's just relationships in pieces, and you don't know how to make it better. Betrayal, false accusations, whatever. God's calling you to go through it. I don't know what it's in your life, but I want you to think about that. Sooner or later, there's going to be some things that come into your life that, if they're not taken care of, they'll make you bitter. What are some signs and results of a person that lives a wounded life? We're here in chapter 15, verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Samuel didn't even get a word out to him. Wounded hearts are defensive. Saul was defensive. There was a sore spot here. The real issue, well, he was no longer secure in his position. He knew he had messed up. And so he became defensive. And the real issue was that he had sinned and he was guilty. Verse 17. And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." When thou wast little in thine own sight. Did he become proud and arrogant? I'm not sure. Verse 23. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Did Saul not repent because of the pride and taking his own way in this instance? Wounds make us defensive. If I had a broken arm this morning, I probably wouldn't shake your hand. I'd, you know, keep it tucked in here so no one bumps it and no one grabs a hold of it. I would be defensive, and that's what happens when we're hurting inside. We become defensive. And parents, school teachers, church leaders, when someone's being defensive, there's a sore spot. It's hurting inside. It hurts because we had violated our own integrity with God. We're no longer secure in our heart standing. Saul was not honest with himself and with God. Verse 24, chapter 15. And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Wounded people are insecure and swayed by other people. It's a loss of security on their part. And it shows up in people who are in leadership roles, fathers, church leaders. When we're not secure in our position, we're swayed by other people. It could be an indication of a sore spot inside. Young people, you need to keep your lives clean. You need to be broken and open to the authorities in your life, and you need to make sure that sin's taken care of. Most likely, if it's not that way, you're going to be swayed by your friends and swayed by others. So important to live righteous, clean lives so that we're secure and not influenced but wrongly by others. Let's turn over to chapter 18, verse 6. And it came to pass, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" Wounded people are threatened by those who surpass them in accomplishments. Is not this the attitude that prevents us from rejoicing at the blessings of others, in the blessings of others? The elder brother attitude, jealousy taking over, envy. Because the accomplishments of others point out the weaknesses in our own lives. It's because of our own sin, our own hurt, our own guilt. Verse 10 and 11 of chapter 18. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's heart. And Saul, in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Wounded people throw spears. They hurt others, and it's because of a heart that's full of malice and pain. And this heart drove Saul to great lengths, just pursuing David through the wilderness, and you can read about it. It's just the constant pursuing of David, trying to kill him. Hurting people hurt others. They throw spears. Broken men get hit by spears. That's what David was. And this gives us an understanding of why people who are hurting or who have been abused in the past, they'll end up abusing others if they're not healed. They end up lashing out at them. And it can be such a small thing as, well, like young people, if you're upset about something and you come home and you snap at your dad or your mom or your little sister or whoever, something's wrong in here, and you lash out at others. Fathers can do this, upset with the, stressed out and upset with the family and lash out at them. Wounded people hurt others. And it just results in more hurting people. And if they're not healed, and if the wounds are great enough, the cycle continues. And children will follow in the sins of their parents. The victim becomes a predator later in life. Verse 12 of chapter 18. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from him. Therefore Saul removed from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Wounded people are afraid of faithful people. How is it that we have a king here, over thousands of people, great army, having so much at his fingertips, and he's afraid of his servant? Verse 12 says that the Lord had departed from him because of the sin in Saul's life. And so we have a man here with sin in his life, hurting, in pain, and he's afraid of his faithful servant, even though he's a king over a nation. Verse 17. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Verse 25. And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Wounded people seek for undercover ways to destroy others who threaten them. Now, we would never kill our brother or sister, but we might pass on a negative story about them to help destroy their reputation. We might try to manipulate things and use hidden intentions to control others, doing everything but facing the problem head on. And that's how these things are, this pain in our life. It can just drive a person like a slave to that thing. It will drive you, it will ruin you, it will control your life. Let's go back to, for the next point in the message, I'd like to think about coping with these things instead of healing. In chapter 16, verse 14. I won't read all these verses, but this is when the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and God sent an evil spirit to trouble him. And his servants noticed this, and they said, what you need to do is find someone that can play the harp. We know that's how David came into the picture and started playing the harp for Saul. And when he would play that harp, the evil spirit would leave him, would leave Saul. Just a side note on that, just think about the power of godly music. The course was singing, endeavoring to be a witness in the city yesterday, and we don't know what all the effects of that is, but here's the power of godly music, and can drive an evil spirit away. But I ask you this morning, was this what Saul really needed? It drove the evil spirit away, but it did not take care of the root issues. And we know that Saul tried to spear David two times while he played his harp. So what do people today use to cope with the pain, to cope with the hurts? Well, there's all kinds of addictions, alcohol, pornography, immorality, simply avoiding the people to whom confession should be made or reconciliation should be made. Refuse to face the problem, be honest with our own hearts, instead to attack the person who helps us see the truth. Men might work excessively, hide ourselves in our work, in our office, in our truck, with our buddies. For some of the more serious issues, people might use medication to cover things up. That one's maybe one we don't agree on a lot, but I believe that the mind is an organ and it does need medicine sometimes, but like a broken arm, we don't let the cast on all the time. God created our minds. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. So he knows best how to heal us. Do we believe that this morning? For some, it might be living on their emotions and reliving the problem over and over again. Satan wants us to constantly rethink the thing. He says if we rethink it, we can figure this out. For some, it might be keeping our lives full of activity. Where I work, we have customers come into our landscape yard there, and they're wired with their iPods and just a constant feed into their mind. Need that stimulation. Sometimes it's just simply time helps us cope with it. That can be a good thing because we can't always accept tragic news instantly. If you were to tell me that my house burned down, I would be like, oh no. See, I'm already in denial about it. But time without proper healing is going to turn into bitterness, which only worsens and complicates the problem. And so, you think about those instances in your life. Are you coping? Or are you finding healing from the Lord Jesus? The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So how do we find healing? Well, healed people have scars that don't hurt anymore. How can you and I get to that place in life where the hurt is no longer on the inside, where it's driving us to reactions that are wrong? We may need to repent. Repent simply means to change our mind. Change our mind about our pathway. We need to believe the gospel. That means we trust in it. trust in it that God can change us and that he can change our mind about the hurt. He can give us the power to forgive if you need to forgive somebody. And I know that there's hurts out there. I've experienced them myself where you can hardly lay the thing down because it hurts so much. But it was said of the Lord Jesus, who, when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Forgiveness can be very difficult, but it's the only way to find release from the pain and bitterness. We need to truly trust the Savior who died for you and I. And that means that we act on that trust, commit it to him. Part of believing is placing your faith in Jesus Christ to forgive you for those sins that you have committed and those things that you've brought damage into your own soul. The blood of Jesus atones for that. Can we place our complete trust in him? Secondly, to find healing, we need to cultivate a healthy fear of God. The Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. A verse from Malachi chapter 4. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Not sure if you're too far removed from the farming scene here in the city or not, but I used to work on a farm, and sometimes calves would get pneumonia, and they get it so bad and so long that after a while there was so much damage there and you can't turn the sickness around. They don't grow right. They don't mature right. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. A fear of God produces righteousness and stops the cycle of hurting people, hurting others. The Lord Jesus himself was the ultimate healer. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath promised, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus can heal those who are brokenhearted. It's important that our hearts are broken and soft before God. Things will go much better for us when we face those hurts in life. This is not a small truth that we're talking about. Jesus is the answer to the wounds of life. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Jesus is the answer to everything wrong in this world. Do we believe that? Amen. Come to the cross of Jesus Christ and lay your burden there. Do we still talk about that when people coming to the Lord Jesus and we lay our burdens there? Is that still the way it is? Satan would have us pick it back up and nurse it a little bit more. Fifthly, to find healing, you must face the hurt in your life honestly. We need to allow our heart to be broken. That's what God wants. He wants broken hearts. But we need to face the hurt in life honestly. Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. But when the truth is said, is told to us, and we face it honestly, the truth makes us free. If we're having trouble forgiving, and someone tells us, or the Spirit of God prompts us and says, you need to forgive. We don't want to forgive, but it's the truth. The truth makes you free. You need to forgive. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We need to face the hurt in our lives honestly. Number six, to find healing, we need to open up to a godly person who will help you find that healing. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. It can take a lot of courage, depending on the hurt, to open up to somebody. This has been a blessing in my life in the last number of months, going through a difficult time. Someone that noticed and took the time to care and ask about it. It was a burden lifted off of my shoulders. If you've been a victim of an abusive situation, take courage and seek help. God will guide you. Without God's help, you very well could do the same damage to another someday. Healed people have opportunity to truly help others. The world needs so much individuals who are healthy, who are healed from the hurts in their lives, so that they can reach to others and help them, and that the church can be strengthened because of it. In conclusion, I'd like to read the words from the song, Healing for a Wounded World. These are dangerous times in this sorrowful old world. Who knows what tomorrow we face? Yet we look to the one who created each life, who fashioned every planet in space. Healing for a wounded world, flowing from a nail-scarred hand. There is hope, there is light. Overcoming the darkness, breaking through the night. The great physician reaches down to offer healing for a wounded world. Say one word, precious Lord, and the blind will gain their sight. The lame will start leaping for joy. With the power of your love, shattered lives are made whole. All those who've been forgiven rejoice. You were pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The punishment upon you has brought us peace. By your stripes we are healed. By your wounds we are healed. So I was studying this message. It calls me to search my life for what's there, what's hurting. Those things that God has allowed. And have I truly been healed from those things? Remember, wounded people are dangerous. Broken hearts and lives are useful. I don't know what's in your life, but I know there's probably things there that hurt. And I wonder, will you give God the opportunity to heal your life? Or will the cycles of pain continue into your children and the church family? Our brother read this morning, be ye reconciled to God. I encourage you to come to Lord Jesus again and allow him to heal your life. The great physician can heal by the power of his blood. Let's kneel for prayer.